Happy Mother's Day. See all of the mothers here. And we are excited to be dedicating two wonderful treasures to the Lord today. And so we've got Kinsley and Reagan, and they look so pretty today. And it's good to see the Harder family and the Gooch family here with us. And all of you friends and some of you relatives today, we're thankful for the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. So this is an exciting time, and we've asked them to join us up here. If there's any other family that would like to come and join us, that'd be great here today. Praise the Lord. The dedication of children is a special event here at Harvest, and we do not baptize children as some do, because we believe very strongly that the Bible says clearly that he that believes and is baptized. And so we believe that faith must precede the act of faith in baptism. And so what we do is similar to what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, when he said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Amen. So our Lord, he welcomed children into his midst, and children are always welcome at Harvest. Amen. We love children, and we're thankful for our children's ministry. We value them. They're a part of our future and a great part of today in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Twins. Twins. Amen. This is definitely a first for me to dedicate twins, and I still haven't figured out for sure if I think I'm going to try to do them both at once, but y'all going to have to just hand them off and take them back from me. So twins in the Bible are actually quite rare, at least being mentioned in the Bible. And there are two sets of twins that we know of for sure in Scripture. Two sets of twins that we know of for sure. And then there's others that Jewish tradition implies that could have been twins, perhaps. Some think that perhaps Rachel and Leah could have been twins. And definitely interesting there. But of the four twins that we definitely know of in the Bible, both were sets of boys. And so needless to say, today twins are very special, but twin girls are extra special. And we're excited to dedicate them. Praise the Lord. In dedicating these two wonderful babies to God, I'd like us to look at three dynamic women from God's Word. And then we're going to pray over Kinsley and Reagan. And I want us to pray that they would grow to have the same qualities as these three women, these dynamic women we're going to look at from the Word of God today. First of all, let me draw our attention to Deborah. Deborah. We can find her story in Judges chapter 4 and 5. And she's also mentioned in Hebrews 11's chapter of Great Hall of Faith. And we don't know really anything about Deborah's genealogy. The only family data that we have about her is that she was the wife of Lapidoth. And they lived in the hill country of Ephraim. And the palm tree under which she ruled as a judge and possibly lived there as well, it served as a landmark because palms were very rare in that area of the country. So there was the palm tree that everyone knew that Deborah, the judge, ruled there and made her decisions, and possibly she lived there as well. She is one of several females in the Bible that had a prophetic gift. And in that day, prophets and prophetesses were the voice of God to his people. Can you imagine with me, as spiritually hungry Israelites would make their way across the land and make their way to the palm tree beneath which Deborah sat, and she poured out wisdom and instruction and declared what God had given her. And so it's a neat thing to see how Deborah was used of God. Deborah was also a warrior. She was a warrior. And God gave them great victory. They only had an army of 10,000 But God gave them a great victory against an army of 100,000. And that army also had 900 iron chariots. But in their time of need, God fought for them. Thank the Lord. God fought for them, and he granted them victory over their oppressors. And so Deborah's fame as a female warrior who rescued her people from their foes, it spread far and wide. May these two twins take after Deborah. May they have the courage of Deborah. May they be close to God and hear his voice. May they lead and direct others to God. May they be mighty warriors in the Spirit, warriors in prayer, warriors in worship. May they always seek victory in the Spirit as they accomplish God's work in their lives. I hope they take after Deborah. Secondly, today we see Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. More than anything else, she loved to sit quietly and peacefully at the Lord's feet. She wanted nothing more than to become lost in his words of truth. She was teachable, hanging on every word. No doubt Mary, both Mary and Martha, loved their brother Lazarus, but interestingly enough, we don't read of Martha weeping when death took her brother. Only Mary's tears are mentioned. When word came that Jesus was finally on his way, Martha rose up quickly and ran to meet the Lord, while Mary stayed home in her sorrow. But when Martha met Jesus, and then she came back to tell Mary that the Lord wants to see you. And so Mary came quickly, and Mary came and fell, weeping at the Lord's feet. And it wasn't at the sight of Martha, but it was at the sight of the weeping of Mary that we read Jesus groaned in his spirit and he was troubled. And then Jesus wept. It wasn't at the weeping of Martha, or we don't have an account of her weeping, but it was the weeping at Mary that's when Jesus wept. So there was a connection there of devotion. There was something there much deeper than just serving the Lord. It was her devotion. It was her time spent with him. May these two twins take after Mary of Bethany, to have her devotion and to hang on every word of the Lord, to fall in love with him, so to sit at his feet and to love every moment spent in his presence. May the hours spent just seem like minutes spent in time and devotion unto God. May they take after Mary of Bethany. And thirdly, today we see Lydia. We read of Lydia in the book of Acts. She's also likely described in Philippians and Timothy. She was one of the prominent women of Thyatira, a businesswoman. The water of that area had some special qualities, and it was well suited for dyeing, for placing dye upon cloth and clothes. And they were known for a very unique purple dye. And Lydia was a seller of this product, and she prospered in business. She owned a spacious home, and she had servants to care for her. But more than that, Lydia was a worshiper. Acts declares it, and she was a worshiper, and the Lord opened her heart, and she is most likely the first convert of Paul in Europe. The first convert that Paul had in Europe was Lydia. It's likely that her home became the first Christian church in all of Europe. She wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ. Oh no, she was passionate about her Christ. But we see her receiving Paul and Silas into her home when they recovered from their beating in prison. May these two twins take after Lydia. May they have the passion of Lydia. not only to be successful in whatever they put their mind to, but let them be passionate about the Lord. Let them be worshipers. Let them not be ashamed and not inhibited, but let them have liberty in worship and let God open their hearts to great things. Let them be leaders in the church. Amen. Kinsey and Reagan today, you hear me, but may not understand me yet. But I pray you have the courage of Deborah, the devotion of Mary, and the passion of Lydia. Amen. The practice of blessing our children it's really been lost on our society today. Maybe that's why so many of our children are desperately seeking affirmation in our world. And I believe that we in the church need to practice spiritual blessing of our homes and spiritual blessing of our children and spiritual blessing of young men as they grow and develop and spiritual blessing of daughters as they grow into what God has designed for them to be. Amen. I wonder right now if we could just lift our hands, and I wonder if you'd pray a blessing upon this family here today and a blessing upon Kinsey and Reagan right now. Lord, we thank you for this family. We thank you for their life. We just pray a prayer of blessing. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this family. I pray that you would bless these precious twin girls. I pray, Lord, that your hand of protection would always be upon them. I pray that you'd help them to grow in grace and to grow in truth, Lord, to love you all the days of their life. I pray that you'll bless their home. I pray that you'll bless the finances of their home. I pray that you'll bless them in spiritual aspects, Lord, that you'd help them as they seek to be closer to you, Lord, that you would draw them closer to one another. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord, and we thank you for your blessing upon them today, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I believe we all need to practice blessing our children, blessing our homes. Amen. Testing. What does it mean to dedicate a child to the Lord? What exactly is it that we're doing here today? Dedication means to set apart for a special, special purpose, and to commit to a particular course of action. So being dedicated is something that's very, very wonderful. Fathers dedicate themselves to the task of providing for their families. Mothers today dedicate themselves to the happiness of their home. Children are to dedicate themselves to being respectful to their parents and to learning in school. And all those things are great, but the greatest thing we can do is dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was a story in the Bible about this very thing. Hannah was the wife of Elkanah. She had no children, but she desired that she could have children. That was a desperate, desperate desire of her heart. And I guess it's in the heart of most women. They want to have children. It's God's way of replenishing the earth, and it's only by God's design that this is possible. But Hannah did not have a child, but she wanted one so desperately. And so she went to church to pray about it. What a good thing to do. Amen. Bringing our burdens and our cares to the Lord. It was a tremendous desire, and so she made a promise to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, we read, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember thee, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." She promised that if the Lord would give her a baby, that she would give that baby back to God. And so Eli the priest heard a prayer. 1 Samuel 1 and 17, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And so that pleased Hannah, and she left happy there that day. 1 Samuel 1 and 20 says, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." The Bible says she fulfilled the promise. She nursed and cared for the baby until he was about 4 years old, and then she prepared his things, and she brought a sacrifice. And when she came back to the temple, 1 Samuel
1 and 28 reads, "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. And so that's what we're doing today. We're dedicating these babies to the Lord. We're dedicating Kinsley Faith Harder and Regan Sue Harder to the Lord. Amen. But parents and family members, just because we dedicate them to the Lord doesn't mean our work's over. In fact, our work is just beginning. Amen. He gives them back to us so that we can raise them, we can prepare them, and we can teach them, and we can guide them in the ways of the Lord. And so we are doing this knowing that really they're the Lord's. He's just given them back to us so that we can prepare them for the work that he has for them to do. I love the text of Matthew chapter 18. I read it in most baby dedications that I perform, and verses 1 through 6, it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them." Not the response they were probably looking for. They were thinking maybe one of us is the greatest. Verse 3, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." And then verse 10 says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Their angels. Their angels. We have in the example of a little child today everything that we all need to be great if we want to be great in the kingdom of heaven. And the Word of God says when we receive a child in his name that we receive him. If we offend one of these little ones, it'd be better for a millstone to be put around our neck and us thrown in the sea. But to become like a little child, to have faith, just like an innocent child, to only see the good in others, to trust and to have peace as a little child. And so it's our prayer today as we dedicate these babies to the Lord that they'd have the protection and the blessing of God upon their life, that the power of God would go before them all the days of their life, that they would be received well by others that they meet and grow up with, and that they'd be protected from offense and hurt, and that the angels of the Lord would encamp round about them. In just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer of dedication as these parents dedicate and present these children to the Lord, signifying they're the Lord's. They're not ours any longer, but they belong to the Lord. And then we're going to present them back to the parents to raise them, to teach them, to bring them faithfully to church, to teach about the Bible plan of salvation, and to give them every advantage of being raised in the church. That last verse we read of here today, verse 10, it says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." I believe in angels, do you? Some speak of guardian angels. I believe that children, those little ones who believe and are saved, just like the Scripture says, I believe they're given a special guard of angels around them. They may not have a lot that they can call their own at this age, but according to the Word of God here, they can look at angels that are their own. Kings and queens live in palaces. They have scores of servants and attendants. But children such as Kinsley and Regan, they have glorious angels that are assigned to them. You can't buy that kind of security. There's a wonderful blessing into raising our children in the house of God. There's a great reason to teach your children to be faithful to church and teach them in the ways of God, to teach them to pray and to read the Bible to them, to help them establish a love for the Word of God. And Nick and Selena, I'm challenging you to raise these children, to experience all the blessings of the house of God, to experience the gifts that the Lord has for them. Don't rob them of what God has prepared for them. But oh God, I tell you, they don't have much in the way of earthly wealth right now, but oh, they're blessed. They're blessed from heaven. They're bountifully blessed. And it's your job as parents to keep them in the church, to raise them in the church in the good graces of the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. I want to give us 10 important tips to raising a child in a Christian home today. These are 10 practical things that we can do as Christian parents to be sure we're giving them the best of a godly home for our kids. Number one, put Christ first in your life. This is simply the most powerful way that we can create a godly atmosphere in our home. When Jesus Christ is number one, when He is first priority, then everything else tends to fall in place correctly. If we get the first priority wrong, then it's a mess. It's chaos. But if we can get Jesus as number one, everything else tends to fall into place. If we'll put Him first in everything, it makes everything else much more simple. Number two, model what a Christian should look like. Model what a Christian should look like. Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. What speaks the loudest to our children is what we do day in and day out. What they see in us, what they observe in the good times and in difficult times. We are living epistles to our children, and we need to pray that God helps us always model what a Christian should look like. Number three, make family a priority. After salvation and after our relationship with the Lord, our family should be the next greatest thing in our life. Make family time a priority. Schedule a family vacation time every year. It may not be much. It may just be a couple of nights in Branson, but find something that the family can do that the whole family enjoys. And have a family night each week. We all need to do this. Have a family night each week where you focus on family time and plan a special meal together. Take time to talk together. Go hiking together. Do something. Make family a priority. Number four, teach your children about the Bible and about God. God forbid that we trust everybody else to teach our children about the Lord. We don't need to just rely on the church to teach our kids. God forbid we rely on the school system to teach our kids about the Lord. We need to have teaching from the Bible. We need to have teaching about God that starts in the home. And we need to have family times of devotion. Target whatever it is that you do to the ages of your children. Right now, your family times of devotion may just be between the two of y'all. But make this a practice. Make this a practice. Read books and read through the Bible together. Teach the things of God in the home. As soon as they get old enough to kind of understand, find a great story Bible and read those stories of the Bible and so that they understand who Paul and Silas were. And they know about Jonah and the whale or big fish. Number five, make sure you're connected to the church. It's one thing to be members of a church, and it's another thing to be connected to the church. Being connected means we're involved. It means that the church is a great part of our lives. And I believe strongly that families that build their lives around the church and around the things of God, I believe they're putting into their children things that will remain all throughout the children's life. Number six, make church attendance a priority. Children watch. Children watch. They see what's a priority to us. We can tell them all we want to that church attendance is important. But if they see us making it a priority ourselves, that's what speaks the loudest. Amen. I guess I was raised that unless you're contagious, unless you're throwing up or having a fever, then please do stay home if so. But we were headed to church. Even as I got to be a teenager, there wasn't a question. I knew we were headed to church. We shouldn't have a discussion every weekend or every Wednesday if we're going to church or not. Church attendance, make it a priority. Number seven, encourage your children to have godly influences in their life. I believe our children need some heroes of faith. They need some real life heroes of faith that they can touch and they can see and they can talk to in the flesh. And our children need to be exposed to godly influences. More than just their friends at school, more than just regular contacts that they would have, we should work as parents to expose our children to godly influences in the church that will surround them with a biblical worldview instead of a worldly worldview. We need to protect our children from ungodly influences. You know, there's some really distant family members that I'm not going to invite to my house. We're not going to hang out with them. I love them. We'll see them from time to time, but that's not an influence that I want in my home. Real distant. Number eight, pray regularly with and for your children. I've mentioned this before. I can remember my grandmother praying in her living room. And one time I got in trouble for something. I had locked my cousin in a set of plastic handcuffs, and I had broke the key. And I thought the world was ended because I had locked my cousin up. And so I ran into the living room, and I went to that couch where my grandmother was used to praying, and I'd seen her pray so many times, and I thought, I've got to get hold of the Lord because my cousin's in trouble. And probably I was thinking, I'm about to get a spanking is what I was thinking. But prayer should be a regular thing in our homes. We should have a time of prayer every night with our kids. We should pray with them before they go to school. Make it a part of family devotion. Thank God for Harvest Kids and the push for kids' prayer. But don't let that be the only time that our kids pray. They need to be involved in prayer in the home. Number nine, serve others with your children. I believe this is so powerful in developing our children into adults that care about others. It's not about me. It's not about myself. It's not about I. There's a great part of our life that should be about others. And so that's what this church is to be focusing on, reaching others, reaching souls. We should put into our kids at an early age, find ways to serve others. Teach your children to help people in the community. Teach them to help elders when they see elders in need of help to serve others. Number 10, share your faith in front of your children. What a powerful example to be a witness when our children can see it, where they can catch that vision of evangelism, where they can see the example of talking to others about the Lord, about what God has done for us, and so that they would catch that passion to reach others for Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that raising our children in a Christian home means we're going to be different than the other homes on the block. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We're not meant just to fit in with the world. There's to be a separation there. There's to be a difference about our home. It's the best thing that we can do for our children, to raise them in a Christian environment where they can grow and they can learn to love the Lord. And so we're making a commitment to the Lord today to raise our children in the will of God with His influence in our home, and really realizing that He has entrusted them to us. But really, they're not ours. They're the Lord's. They're the Lord's. And so we're responsible for preparing them for His work in the future that He has designed for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like for the Harder family, the Gooch family, to come, and if they would stand here in the front in the altar area today. And we're going to pray a special prayer of dedication for Kinsley Faith Harder and Reagan Sue Harder. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're making a commitment to the Lord today Today, God has blessed your family with two beautiful baby girls. And you've communicated your desire to me to present them to the Lord, that they would be the Lord's. And so we're going to pray, and we're going to do just that. And then we're going to present them back to you to raise and to teach in the ways of God. We have a baby dedication pledge today. Nicholas and Selena Harder, if it be your intention to present these children, Kinsley Faith Harder and Reagan Sue Harder, to the Lord, and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, please answer "We do" to the following commitments. Do you recognize Kinsley Faith and Reagan Sue Harder as gifts from God? And do you give heartfelt thanks for God blessing you with them? Do you this day dedicate Kinsley Faith and Reagan Sue Harder to the Lord who gave them to you? Do you this day make a commitment to bring Kinsley Faith and Reagan Sue Harder up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you this day make a commitment to give Kinsley Faith and Reagan Sue Harder every benefit of a Christian-centered home, recognizing it as God's ordained institution of refuge for them? Do you this day make a commitment to give Kinsley Faith and Reagan Sue Harder every benefit of a doctrinally sound church, recognizing it as God's ordained institution of instruction in salvation? Do you this day make a commitment to give Kinsley Faith and Reagan Sue Harder every benefit of an education, recognizing it must be in harmony with the Word of God? Do you this day ask God's blessings upon Kinsley Faith and Reagan Sue Harder to guard, to guide, and to govern them through all their years? Do you this day pledge that when Kinsley Faith and Reagan Sue Harder reach the age of accountability, you will lead them to repentance, instruct them in the ways of water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and encourage them to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Nicholas and Selena Harder, inasmuch as you have on this 13th day of May, in the year of our Lord 2018, expressed your desire to dedicate Kinsley Faith Harder and Reagan Sue Harder to the Lord, and inasmuch as you have recognized your need of the blessing and protection of the Lord upon their lives, and inasmuch as you jointly have pledged to do your part in their nurturing and development, and inasmuch as you have pledged to raise them in biblical truth, I therefore, as a minister of the gospel and ambassador of Jesus Christ, do dedicate Kinsley Faith Harder and Reagan Sue Harder to the Lord for as long as God shall give them life. Amen. And I wonder if we can join together to express our collective consent by joining together in prayer. Would you stand? I wonder if you just raise your hands and pray for this family today. Pray a blessing upon these two twins, and pray a blessing upon these parents and this extended family, that God's hand would be upon them. Praise the Lord. We got to get a picture of this one. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for these wonderful babies. We thank you for the potential that's wrapped up in these two precious children, Lord. We thank you for this family. We thank you for this home. God, today we dedicate them to you. We dedicate Kinsley. We dedicate Reagan to you. Lord, that they would live for you all the days of their life, that they would serve you, that they would put you first in their life. God, I pray that your blessing be upon them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I pray that your angels would encamp round about them. I pray that you'd protect them from danger and from harm. I pray that you'd help them to love the truth, that you'd help them to love the gospel. I pray, God, that you would guide and direct them, Lord, into the day that they're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you bless these parents, God. I pray that you'd minister and work in their home and help them as they commit to live for you and to raise these children in a godly home. We thank you, Lord. We dedicate them to you today, Lord. They're yours, oh God. They're yours, oh God. Lord, today you give them back to these parents to raise in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We pray a great prayer of blessing upon them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, I still got the touch, I guess. Amen. We present them back to you today. Amen. Let's pray for this family now. Lord, we thank you for this mother and this father. I pray, God, that your blessing be upon them. Give them strength. Give them direction. Lord, supply their needs. I pray, God, that you would help them to be led by the word of God, that you would use them in raising these children for you. I pray, Lord, that you'd minister and work. Lord, bless all of these children today. God, I pray that you'd minister and work in their lives, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Bless these families today. Lord, I pray that you'd minister and work in them. Give them wisdom. In Jesus' name, bless these homes, God. Lord, we thank you for your touch. We thank you for your power, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. God, we give you praise and we give you glory today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the church. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It'd be a good time just to rededicate yourself and to rededicate your family to the Lord right now. God, help us to live for you, God. Help us, Lord, to lead our families in the way that you would have us go. We give you all the praise and we give you the glory today. We worship you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We've got their first Bibles. Our first Bible's there. Here's the dedication pledge. We'll give that to you and you can sign that. And then also here's a certificate of baby dedication signifying that Kinsley Faith and Regan Sue Harder, born on March the 4th, 2018 in Springfield, Missouri, duly and prayerful consideration presented to the Lord in dedication by their parents Nicholas and Selena Harder on the 13th day of May. Amen. God bless you today. We'll give you those. Amen. We welcome you to congratulate them. They may want to take some pictures here. We're going to take a short break and come back at 1 p.m. with a great Mother's Day service. God bless you today.